The ceiling is covered in hanging lanterns. It's dark and moody, and I love it. If it weren't for the men who own it, I would want to eat here, looking out at the city and watching it all go by with Ryder's hand on my thigh, Kenzo's fingers slipping into my knickers in front of everyone, and the food forgotten before us. Ryder tugs me after him as he winds through the tables to a raised area at the back, where a circular table sits, slightly hidden, behind a white letter-covered screen. I don't look at anyone specifically. The restaurant is empty, except for the men in suits, hired muscle, all watching our progress, yet Ryder is unafraid, as is Diesel behind me. 3 versus at least 15 men, that's how many we can see, yet they don't let any concern show. In fact, they stroll through the room like they own it, the power flowing off them in waves, and then I realize what it means to be a viper. Even surrounded and in an enemy's nest, we are still the big bad. The baddest motherfuckers in the city. Even in the face of loss, even in the face of death, we own this shit. I raise my head and add confidence to my walk. I'm a fucking viper. It's time I start acting like it. We take what we want. We do what we want. There is a lone man sitting at the table with his side towards us. He picks a napkin up and wipes his mouth as he sits back and waits for us to reach him. His short hair is pushed back, and he looks similar to the Asian man from the hotel. He has a number 2 tattooed on his neck as well. Is this like fucking thing 1 and thing 2? Uncaring that he didn't invite us to join him, Ryder pulls out a chair for me and I sit. He pushes it back in, but not too much so I can access my weapons and move quickly. He sits next to me, legs parted, hand close to his gun, even as he leans back like he has no worries in the world. His face is cold and empty, that usual control in place. I envy that. I don't have that kind of bluff. So I'm going to own being a mean, cruel bitch. Relaxing back in my chair, I tilt my head and let my eyes run across him. I don't know. Number 3 had more of an air of power about him. You look like a little bitch. I grin as his eyes narrow and flicker to Ryder. You came here unannounced to insult me. He snaps, but there is a quiver in his voice. This isn't in their plan. He doesn't know what's happening or what to do. Of course not, but you can understand Roxanne's anger. You did, after all, kidnap and torture her. Ryder's face tightens at the words, his anger flaring, so I lean over and lick his ear, my eyes on number 2. Stay cold, baby. You can let it all out on me later, I murmur, and he groans. She tends to hold a grudge. I know that from personal experience. He laughs. But no, we are not here to talk. We both know the time for talking is past. Your family has signed the death warrants, and now you have a simple choice of how quickly you die. He grins. The men in the room rustle, and one in particular steps closer, his gun drawn. Diesel shifts behind me, protecting my back. Straightening in my seat, I wink at number 2. He's right. I do hold a grudge. I'm very fucking good at it. Ask my men. Oh, wait, you have one of them. Wagging my finger, I lean into the table, flaunting my breasts as I take his wine glass and sip it, watching him before leaning back in my chair. His eyes flicker to the blood still on my skin and he swallows. So where is he? Ryder doesn't stiffen at me taking over for him. No, he relaxes more. He's too emotional to act the part right now. I don't have to be composed. I'm the scorned girlfriend, so I can be as crazy as I want, and I plan to be. They took what is mine. They hurt me. They hurt my family. Number 2 licks his lips nervously before he smiles. Probably being cut open as we speak. I freeze and carefully, calmly, place the wine glass on the table. I will ask once more, and you should know that every person who has ever hurt me has a tendency to wind up dead. And you know the man behind me, right? I relax back into D, who bends down and kisses me, making me moan as he flicks his tongue across my lips, tasting the wine there. He's a master of torture, and I learned from the best. So one more time before I get mad. Where is Garrett? Diesel's hand circles my throat possessively and drags my head back again, kissing me hard and biting my lip until I taste my own blood before he releases me. Licking my lips, the blood undoubtedly dripping, I look to number two. I'm waiting, I purr.
Go fuck yourself, you stupid bitch. You will all be dead when this is through, and no one will remember you and your fucked up family, he snarls.
I blink, letting his words drop into the silence for 2 seconds before I jump into motion. Yanking out Ryder's gun, I point it at the man closest to him and fire, hitting him square between the eyes as I push back from the table and stand. Yells go up, then guns are drawn and firing as I let off 4 more shots, killing 4 more guards before giving the weapon to Ryder and storming around the table, trusting them to protect me. I hear Diesel laughing and others screaming as I meet number two head on. He's tangled in the tablecloth as he gawks at what's happening. He thought he was untouchable, but he's wrong. No one is untouchable but us. Everyone can die. I will kill them all to get my man back. No one fucks with what's mine, my damaged lover. I kick back the chair, and it crashes to the floor with a loud thump. Stepping over him, I press my foot to his throat to stop his struggling, my heel pressing against his soft flesh. He gulps, his hands going out to the side in a gesture of peace, his scared eyes locked on me. He's finally realizing his family is dead. Everything they did to win, every law and rule they broke, and everyone they bribed or killed was for nothing. All because they got greedy and took something that wasn't theirs. Where is he? I snarl. The firing stops, but I don't look away as Diesel rounds the table, crouches next to number two, and looks up at me with blood on his face.
That was fucking beautiful. You were wearing those heels later, he murmurs, as Ryder steps up next to me and stares down at number two. We warned you. Where is he? He growls.
I hear a rustle at the stairs, and Diesel, without looking, pulls his gun and fires. I hear a grunt, and then the distinctive sound of someone falling down the stairs. Sorry about your brother. He was a real prick, though. I smirk, leaning forward like I'm sharing a secret. He talked like a little bitch at the end of my bat. Number two sputters and I laugh. Don't ever fuck with a viper. Just because I have a pussy doesn't make me weak. You fucked with the wrong family. He narrows his eyes, but he sees the truth in my gaze and deflates.
Please don't kill my wife. She's innocent in this.
I don't speak, but I dig my heel in deeper.
Did you afford us those same niceties?
Ryder snaps. He closes his eyes for a moment before opening them and looking at me.
He's being held at our family's home, 478 Rosewater, the mansion on the hill overlooking the city.
Security? I ask, and I can feel Ryder's surprised and appreciative gaze.
Over 30 men, the last of us. My brother will be there too, and her.
He sputters as I jab in deeper.
Her? Daphne, his ex. She was working with us, he wheezes. Came to us wanting revenge. We made a deal to kill you all, but she could do whatever she wanted with him. She's been supplying us information. Fucking knew it, Ryder snarls. I should have tortured her more, Diesel grins. I won't make that mistake again.
I look to Ryder then. Why did she betray him in the first place? The man under my heel struggles, so I push harder and he starts to pant.
Why?
He looks at me sadly.
For money and power. She was offered both by a rival. She thought they would own the city, but she was wrong. It almost killed him. They paid her to do just that, but he survived. We hunted her down and Diesel killed her, or so we thought. Now she has him, I hiss.
She's going to finish what she started, I whisper in shock. Ryder, we have to get him now. He nods and is already on the phone, so I glare back down at number two.
Anything else?
He shakes his head, his eyes wide, so I grab my gun, the one Garrett got me, and I shoot him in the face. It explodes and I close my eyes as brain and gore hits me in Diesel. Sam even gets on Ryder, but he doesn't blink at it. Stepping away, I rip off my heels and with a cry drive them into his chest before standing and brushing my hair back. Let's go get him. I demand, as I turn and pick my way over the bodies. I feel my men behind me. What started as a business deal has now become my life. There's an old quote. Throw me to the wolves, and I will come back, leading the pack. I was thrown to the vipers, and now they are mine. Never underestimate a woman, because those seen as weak have a lot less to lose than those with everything. I'm used to being the underdog, but no longer. No. I'm a fucking viper queen, their girl, and I'm going to tell the whole city tonight, after I get my man back and we kill the triad for good. No one will ever come for us again. Let this be their final warning. We own this city. We own them.
53. Garrett. I know instantly something is wrong. The bed under me is too soft to be my own. The smell is wrong, not to mention my arms are straining and my legs are in an uncomfortable angle. My head is fucking killing me, like I took one too many hits to it. I don't let on to anyone who is watching. My breathing remains the same, even as my anger chases away the haziness moving sluggishly through my blood. The hotel. The roof. Kenzo! Fuck, I hope he's okay. If anyone can survive a stab wound, it's that slippery bastard, but right now I'm in trouble too. They came at me. It was a fucking trap. They wanted me, but why? I twist my hands experimentally and find my wrists are bound, ankles too. I'm spread eagle, the cool air hitting me, then making me shiver. I try to push back the panic at being tied up again, flashes of the past sneaking into my mind. The room smells clean like mint and bleach, but the bed feels unmade and must. Where the fuck did they take me? I'm gonna fucking kill them all. I had plans, like to remind Roxy that she was mine and not to get her ass kidnapped. Then I went and got my ass taken. I don't understand why they singled me out. The smarter move would have been to take Ryder or hell, even Diesel, so that he wouldn't hunt them. No, this feels personal. Just as I think that, I hear a door open nearby. Keeping my eyes closed and my breathing even, I wait as I hear soft footsteps, muffled by carpeting, heading my way. Her perfume hits me first. Even now, she still wears that same piss-stinking Chanel, and I know why me. Her. She wanted me. It was probably her condition for working with them, the stupid cunt. I feel her long nail next running down my chest, and I realize I'm naked, bound and helpless to her once again. Ain't life a fucking bitch. I survived this once, I can again. But I refuse to be that same shocked, betrayed boy. I'm a goddamn viper. My eyes open and meet hers as she grins down at me, her face half burnt away. Finally, the rot inside of her shows on the outside. You look fucking awful, I sneer. She frowns and narrows her eyes, digging her long nails into my chest.
And you look better. Poor little damaged Garrett. I wonder, can you even still get it up for a woman? Or does she have to be cutting you up?
So you're working with a triad? How many cocks did you have to suck to get them to even pay attention to you? I taunt nastily. She snarls and digs her hand in deeper, cutting my skin, but I don't even react, which she hates.
None. They want you gone. We made a deal so I could have you. Right now, your little whore and brothers are being killed.
Doubtful, I scoff. You can never kill them, especially Rox. That bitch is too stubborn to die. At her name, Daphne snarls and drags her nails down my ruined chest, making me grunt in pain as she draws blood.
Yeah? Then she will live long enough to get your broken bloody body back. You die tonight like you should have back then. But that doesn't mean we can't have some fun first.
She flutters her lashes, her half-melted face pulling in what I'm guessing is supposed to be a seductive expression. Jesus, how did I used to fuck this woman? No thanks, would rather stick my dick in a chainsaw. It would be more fun than your rank cunt, a laugh. She stabs her nails into my stomach, making me crunch inwards as I swear at her. Laughing, she pulls back and licks my blood from her nails, causing me to gag. You're fucked up in the head.
True, but I'm tired of talking. How about we recreate some old times?
She plucks a knife from the side and lets it shine in the light, showing me.
This is the very same knife I used on you last time. I kept it as a memento. But then you had to go and survive, didn't you?
I don't reply, just grinding my jaw as I stop the flashes from coming back to me, of waking up in the hospital with tubes down my throat while I panicked. I refuse to let her see how much she's affecting me, how the terror is flooding my system. I refuse to give her any more power over me than she already has. Climbing up onto the bed next to me, she glides the knife down my face, but I twist away. She snarls and grabs my chin, pulling me back around, her lips crashing onto mine. Her taste makes me gag as I rip away and headbutt her for touching me. She falls away with a cry, but then she's back in an instant, the knife held to my cock, her lip busted and bleeding, which makes me grin.
I wonder, does your little Roxy know how you used to like to hurt me? That it got you off? That you liked watching me with others?
She whispers. I can't help but smirk. It was the only way I could come with you. I didn't even know that was messed up until her. I like to hurt her too, but she fucking loves it. She comes on my fingers and tongue from the pain while she also fucks my brothers. I throw it in her face, knowing she always wanted them as well, the power and the money she would get from being their girl. But they hated her, could smell her fear and see the truth before even I could. She digs the knife into my thigh near my cock and I freeze as she snarls.
She's fucking dead anyway,
she screams before sucking in deep breaths.
And soon you will be too, and I'll be the queen. I'll have money and power.
I snort. You're fucking delusional. Once they're done with you, they will kill you. They can't sell you. You're too fucking ugly for that trade. Nah. They will make it quick. You are nothing. Just a withered old gold-digging bitch. You will never be anything more. With a shriek, she swings her legs over me and starts stabbing. Screams get trapped in my throat as I thrash to try and dislodge her, my blood covering her blade and splashing her hands and arms as she screeches wildly. Fuck! I can't die here. I can't!
54. Roxy. We speed towards the house. Tony, Sam, and the others are behind us in another car. I'm not waiting for them. She will kill him, but she will make it hurt. It's time this bitch dies. I'm tired of her ghost hurting him. Only I get to do that. The farther we head from the city, the quieter the roads get. Diesel passes over more weapons they had in the car, and his fanny pack is back on, but this time it has a happy, fiery sun. Seriously, does he collect them or something? I'm going to need to investigate that shit as soon as we get back, because it's so weird seeing this big, bad, crazy, beautiful man with a sparkling fanny pack. It's also weirdly hot. I don't ask what's in it this time, though. Diesel. You go left, I go right. The others are going through the back door. Love? Ryder glances over at me as he drives, his hand grabbing mine for a second and squeezing. I need you to get my brother out. He will be somewhere on the second floor. I suck in a breath, knowing he's trusting me to do that, but I nod and grip the bat between my legs tighter. That bitch is mine. He grins and looks back at the road. It's long and winding as we head through the hill to the lit-up mansion on top. From here, I can see the glass balcony surrounding the white two-story building. It's a nice fucking house. Too bad it will be gone by the end of tonight. We pull up behind the gate and get out, all the guards strapped to the teeth. But when another car pulls up, we all point our guns and wait, the headlights blinding us slightly until the driver's side door opens and Kenzo tumbles out. He grins at us. Didn't think you could leave me behind, did you? He laughs as he walks towards us. His chest is covered in a vest, but he's leaning slightly to one side. No! Go home, brother! Ryder barks. You are hurt! He rolls his eyes as he reaches us, kissing me hard. Hey, darling. Didn't think I would let you have all the fun, did you? Kenzo! Ryder starts, but Kenzo snarls at him. He's my brother, too. I'm here, I'm not going home, and neither would you. We do this together. Every minute we waste, he could be dying, so for once, just shut the fuck up and listen to me. Kenzo snaps before softening. I'll be fine. The doc gave me something for the pain that will keep my muscles loose and won't tear my stitches until I do something stupid. Fuck! Ryder yells, but turns to look at the house, knowing he's right. Fine, but you stick close to me, he demands. Got it, brother. Kenzo looks down at me and winks. Don't think I've forgotten, I'll bet. Doc said you even cried. How cute. I knew you loved me. I did not fucking cry. There was dust. I still ate your guts. I snarl, even as I lift up on my tiptoes and kiss him hard. Do not do anything stupid. I turn to Ryder and grab his shirt and drag him to me, kissing him too. He groans into my mouth as I pull away panting. Then I'm spun and dipped, and Diesel kisses me. Later, little bird, he promises as he lets me up. My heart is hammering and arousal flows through me, but now is not the time. I have a man to rescue, and I'm going to call him Princess Garrett for the rest of our days. He can call me his White Knight. I'm still in my dress, but Ryder fastens a vest over me, his vest without a word, and then we head towards the gate. We don't sneak through or buzz. Diesel blows the fucker up, laughing to himself the whole time. I swear, I get why people are terrified of him. But when I look at him, all I want to do is ride that crazy train. Literally ride him. But like he said, later. It does the trick, though. Guards stream from the house, and we pick them off as we advance down the driveway, me behind a line of men playing it smart. The front door is open, the blood of the now deceased guards lining the steps as we head into the hallway. I take a quick glance around. It's a nice house, all white walls and marble floors, with a grand staircase on the left, art on the walls, and big decorative chandeliers. It screams money, and you can see the Asian accents dotted around here and there. It really is beautiful. What a shame. I wait for the guys to break up, and Ryder looks back at me and nods. I press my bat to my shoulder, holding my gun in my other hand as I suck in a deep breath, and as the bullets fly, I run to the stairs. I have no time to waste. They could kill him if they hear us coming. I can't let that happen. They are all expecting it from me. He's expecting it. They only die if I kill them. I take the stairs two at a time, ducking when an explosion goes off until I'm standing on the landing. It opens into a living room, and there is only one hallway off of it. He has to be down there. Hurrying across the living room, I press against the wall as a shot comes from the hallway, aimed right at me. Fucking bastard. Gripping my gun, I duck around the corner and fire. I hear someone cry out, but the hallway is almost too dark to see down. Rushing down it, I almost stumble over the man clutching his arm. Taking him by surprise, I swing the bat, bringing it down on his leg. I hear the crunch as it gives in, so I swing back again, hitting it from the other direction, and he crumples to the floor, his leg bent in two places. He's passed out, but I can't let him sneak up on me, so I grab his gun and shoot him before moving on. Come on, Garrett. Where the fuck are you? The gunfire from below seems to get quieter and quieter the longer I wind down the hallway until I'm alone. Fuck. When this is through, I need to go on a vacation and ride lots of dick. And have orgasms. Lots and lots of orgasms. I want to feel like I'm dying from them. Stupid vipers and their stupid enemies getting in the way of my dick plans. There's a door to the left, and remembering what I saw in films, I put my back to the wall and hum the Mission Impossible theme song. I swing it open and jump in. It's empty, and it feels kinda anticlimactic, but I slip out and to the next door. There are only three. This one opens into an empty bathroom, so I suck in a breath and approach the one at the end. This has to be it. Is he behind this door? Fuck. Let him be okay. I ain't the praying type, but right now I'm praying to anyone who will listen, God and Satan. Because let's face it, if anyone is going to have our backs, it's probably my dude Satan. Reaching out, I grab the silver handle and steady myself for whatever I might find on the other side. When I swing it open, I have a split second to take in the room, and when I do, my anger surges through me again. This fucking bitch. She is poised over him, straddling his lap, his body bare and covered in blood from various wounds. His hands and feet are chained, and she has a knife aimed at his slick, bloody chest. His face is twisted in a terrified snarl, his eyes wild and wide. I can feel his anger, pain, and terror from here, and see the ghost circling him. In that split second, I hate her more than I have ever hated anyone. Not because he used to love her and she betrayed him, but because of the pain I know he will have to live with again after this. The hate fills me, my movements jerky, and I must make a noise because she starts to turn towards me. I've never wanted to hurt someone so much before, to feel them bleed, to hear their screams, and know they are suffering as much as they made him. But for her, it's an expectation. I get it now. Why Diesel does it, why Garrett fights. I need that too. I need this bitch to suffer. Striding across the room as her head lifts, I watch as her eyes widen and her mouth drops open. I swing my bat, gaining momentum until I'm next to her, and then I smash it across her face. She flies from the bed and I scramble after her, landing above her on the carpet. She screams, grabbing for her fallen knife, and I drop the bat, smashing my fists into her face again and again. He's fucking mine, you cocksucking son of a bitch, psychotic cunt! I can hear words leaving my mouth, but all I see is the horror and pain twisting Garrett's face, the knife covered in his blood, the grin on her lips. Blood bubbles from her lips as she gasps and struggles beneath me. Wait, she calls, her voice choked, but I can't hear her. All I see is the blood on her, Garrett's blood. More words tumble from my lips as I smash my fists into her face over and over. I feel my knuckles crack, my own blood joining hers and Garrett's, but the pain of it only adds to my hate. I can't stop. Her nose breaks, the sound loud, and her lips burst like ripe fruit. Her head thrashes from side to side with my blows. Her face is caving in, her eye dulling as I kill her. It's still not enough. It will never be enough. When I physically can't hit anymore, I drop my hands to her chest, panting heavily and looking at the bloody pulp which was once a woman. My own hands are slick with her blood, and I know some is Garrett's. With a pain scream, I bring my fist back and smash it into her face again, my arms sore and aching like I'm lifting weights. Breathing rapidly, I fall to the side and crawl along the floor to the bed before I stumble back to my feet. Ignoring her unmoving, bloody body, I rush over to Garrett, who is thrashing and yelling in the chains. His eyes are wild, his chest heaving, his blood covering the bed. He can't see me. He's seeing her, lost in his own memories and panic. Fuck. But I have to try. I have to get him to see me. So I climb up next to him and yank on the chains, trying to free him, knowing better than to touch him right now, but she must have the key. He stops moving, and I look down into those eyes, those damaged, pained eyes, and I can't help it. Tears slip down my cheeks as I cup his face with blood-stained hands. I'm here, big guy. She can't hurt you again, I whisper, before choking on a sob. I slide my hands back into the chains, slipping with my blood-covered, clumsy fingers, but I manage to finally undo one. It was a mistake. I don't see him coming, and he doesn't see me. No, he sees her. His hand darts out and circles my throat, squeezing hard, cutting off my air supply. My eyes widen as my hand comes up to claw at his before I stop myself. It won't help. Instead, I relax into his touch, even as my lungs scream for air. See me, big guy, please. Feel me. See me. Come back to me. I beg him wordlessly as I relax into his touch, my eyes fluttering shut as everything starts to go dark. If I die here, at his hands, then so be it. But I know that will kill him, more than she ever could. So I fight, hanging on as long as I can, having hope that he isn't too far gone, that he can chase those demons away and come back to me. Please come back to me.
Baby,
he croaks, his words pained and my eyes snap open. His mouth drops open, his eyes blinking rapidly, and I know it's him. He looks down at his hand and yells, jerking it away. I fall forward, weak, sucking in desperate breaths. I hear him tugging on his chains, no doubt to get to me. I'm okay, I'm okay, I croak, and I feel him freeze next to me.
Baby, God, I'm sorry. Fuck, God, I'm so sorry.
I lift my head, hearing the pain in his voice and seeing the tears in his eyes.
I couldn't see you. I couldn't. I swear, I thought it was her. I thought it was her,
he sobs, big, racking ones that shake his entire body, and no matter how tired, how weak I'm feeling, I drag my ass over to him and lay against his chest, pressing my forehead to his as I cup his cheeks and wipe away his tears.
I know. Shush. I'm here. I'm sorry I didn't get here quicker, but she will never hurt you again.
I promise. God, babe, I'm sorry, I whisper, my own tears dropping onto his face. Just two broken souls meeting in a blood-stained bedroom, both lost until we are in each other's arms. His pain is mine, and right now I wish I could take it all away. Drain it from him. I want my cruel, mean asshole back, the one afraid of nothing, but right now he needs to be weak. He needs me to hold him while he's vulnerable, so he can be that man again, so he can find his way back. So even though I know we need to move, I hold him, kissing across his face. It's okay, I'm here, she's gone. I just keep repeating it. Baby. He croaks eventually, and I look back at those eyes. I hate you, he whispers, a small smile covering his trembling lips. I hate you too, I whisper, as I lean down and kiss him softly. We'd better get going, big guy. That okay? He nods and sucks in a breath, seeming to regain control of himself a bit.
Yeah. Are the others here?
He asks, clearing his throat. Downstairs, I say, as I sit up and undo his other hand before crawling down the bed and unfastening his feet. Once he's free, he tries to sit up but collapses back, no doubt from blood loss and shock. I help prop him up. Take your time.
Where is she?
He snarls, and I point over the edge of the bed. Dead. Sorry. I couldn't help myself. I shrug, knowing he probably wanted to do the honors.
Good,
he snaps, and sucks in a breath, scooting to the edge of the bed. I get to my feet, holding my arms out in case he falls, as he grabs the bed and hoists himself up, wincing in agony. We just gotta get downstairs, big guy, then we're going home, I assure him. And he looks at me and gives me a fucking heartbreaking smile.
Wherever you are is home, he whispers.
Yeah, you've lost too much blood. You'll hate yourself for that later, I tease. But don't worry, I'll remind you that you said that when you're calling me a brat again. He snorts and then groans in pain, his arm covering his chest. He has small knife marks and puncture wounds everywhere, too many to count, which is probably why there's so much blood. He's also naked, so I hurry away until I find some sweats and then kneel at his feet. Use my head, let me help you, I offer, as I hold him there. He grips my hair, lifting one foot after the other as I tug the sweats on before I get to my knees and pull them all the way up, covering him. I can't ask if she hurt him that way, not yet, but if he wants to talk about it, I'm here. I won't pressure him. I'm just so fucking glad he's alive. Getting to my feet, I wrap my arm around his shoulders and we lumber from the room. He manages to hold some of his weight, but the farther we walk, the harder he's leaning into me. It's slow going, and when we hit the stairs, I can't hear any more fighting. Each step is agony for him, and I have to grit my teeth at the pressure on my body. By the time we reach the bottom, we're both panting and covered in sweat. I maneuver him around the bodies, making sure none are my guys. I spot Sam in the corner and freeze for a second. His eyes are empty and unseeing, his face pale, his gun on the floor next to him like he dropped it, and there's a hole in his chest. Swallowing hard, I turn away, knowing I need to get Garrett free. The guys will meet me out there, I know it. They have to. We head through the front door and up the driveway, each step slower than the last, until I'm grunting, holding nearly all his weight. Come on, big guy, stay fucking with me, okay? Not much farther.
Love you, baby,
he slurs, and I look up to see his face is pale, and way too much blood is dripping from his chest. Oh no, you fucking don't, hold on, I demand, and he snorts again.
So bossy,
he murmurs. You know it, so fucking listen to me for once, you wanker. I drag him as far as I can, just passing the gate when I hear a noise and glance back. As I hold Garrett against me, I see Ryder striding towards us. He slips his head under Garrett's other shoulder and helps me. Kenzo isn't far behind, but he's holding his stomach and wincing. Otherwise, he seems okay. Where's Dee? I ask in concern, just as I see him stroll from the house with a cigarette in his mouth. He waves at me casually before flicking it back at the house and running towards us. It takes all of 3 seconds. The house explodes.
55. Diesel. Garrett is in a bad way. He's pale and losing a lot of blood. We managed to get him into the back seat. We leave Tony to clean up and bring number one, as his tattoos indicated, back home to us. All that matters right now is our family. Our broken family. Kenzo is hurt. Garrett is dying. He can't fucking die. I can't lose him. Panic surges through me until I smash my head into the dashboard to silence it. Ryder glances over, grim-faced, as he starts the car and backs away. Can't die. Die, no, die. Can't die. I don't even know I'm talking until a slap lands across my head.
He's not fucking dying, you hear me? So shut the fuck up, Dee.
She screams. And I look back to see the tears in her eyes. Her dress is torn and covered in blood, and the terror in her eyes is because, despite her yell, she's worried he will. Little bird, I whisper, trying to help her, but Garrett groans just then, and she turns back to him.
I'm here, big guy, I'm here,
she whispers, and his eyes open slightly. Sorry, baby, he murmurs.
No, don't you fucking apologise, just stay with me, okay?
She demands, and he snorts and then screams in agony, the sound filling the car and causing Ryder to smash the gas pedal. I jolt in my seat as Kenzo grips Garrett's head tight to stop him from moving. He settles down but seems mostly passed out. As each mile ticks by, more panic fills me as I glance from the road to him. Looking in the back seat, I watch our girl hold the dress to his chest to staunch the bleeding, her face locked in a determined snarl. My own panic whines through me, but I can't help but admire her. She leans down into his face and slaps him.
You do not fucking leave me, you hear me? If anyone is going to kill your stubborn ass, it's going to be me, so fucking fight.
His eyes open again, his lips kicking up. Dee told us you liked us.
Shut the fuck up.
She laughs, the sound choked from tears.
I still hate you fuckers.
His eyes close again and she leans down.
Please, please don't leave me. Everyone leaves me, please, not you too.
Her ragged plea fills the car and tears well in my eyes as I watch her. If I could do anything, I would. If I could save him or her from this, I would. But I'm useless and it kills me. His hand is hanging from the seat, so I reach back and squeeze it. Hold on, brother, I order. Who else will stop me from doing crazy shit if not you?
Who'll stop Ryder from being such a wanker?
Kenzo laughs, the sound weak. Or Rocks from killing everyone, Ryder adds. Yeah, you bastards need me, Garrett mumbles, making us all laugh.
We do, big guy. I need you, okay? Please, just hang on,
she begs, kissing him softly. The doctor is still there. I told him not to leave in case one of us got hurt, Kenzo informs us. We've just got to make it there. The next few miles pass silently, only broken by the jagged, wet breathing of Garrett and the whispered words of my little bird to him. They seem to do the trick, though, since when we get into the garage, he's still with us. We can't go to the hospital, they ask too many questions. No, here is better. We rush him upstairs, but he refuses to let go of Rox's hand, even when we lay him on the table and the doctor starts to treat him. Please, I need room, he tells her, and she steps back, but Garrett chucks upright. Roxy! He screams wildly, so she rushes to his side, soothing him as he settles back onto the table. I need to sedate him, the doctor mutters, and before Garrett can protest, he does just that. We all watch with fear in our hearts at losing our brother. Our shoulders brush together as our woman holds him and the doctor works. It takes hours until the exhausted man steps back and nods. If he makes it through the night, he will live. Garrett is still knocked out, and at this point, little bird looks exhausted, her body swaying, though I don't think she knows it. Her face is pale and lost. She looks so small, so quiet for our Roxy. I don't like it. I can't help him, my brother, but I can help our girl. I look to Ryder and jerk my head at Rocks. He nods as he helps Kenzo sit as the doctor looks at his stitches. Leaving them to it, I head her way. Blood covers her hands. My brother's blood, her lover's blood. Her face is pale and shocked, and she's not moving or speaking. So I gently lift her and cradle her in my arms. I take her to the bathroom, not wanting to be far, in case he wakes up and starts fighting again when he doesn't see her, but she needs looking after too. She doesn't fight me or speak, and that tells me everything I need to know. I run the sink and quickly but gently clean her hands, wincing at the split knuckles before washing her arms and face. She leans into my touch, her eyes closing as tears track down her cheeks.
We almost lost him. We almost lost them both.
But we didn't, little bird, I murmur softly. We didn't, thanks to you. And now it's our turn to look after you. She lifts her head, her eyes finally connecting with mine.
Dee,
she whispers. Yes, little bird.
Tell me something, anything, to keep my mind busy.
She whispers so brokenly, I want to stab everyone. No one hurts her. No one makes her cry, not even my own brother. When Gareth survives and is better, I'm going to kick his ass. I never knew my real father. I like to pretend the man she dated for most of my childhood was him. But then he left, just like everyone else. I tried to find the real man once, I admit, sharing something I've never told anyone.
Did you find him?
She asks, seemingly more alive now. Nah, probably some boring as hell accountant somewhere. Could you imagine? I tease, and she giggles slightly. Oh, no. Oh, no, tell anyone and I'll kill you, little bird.
I love you,
she whispers, leaning her head into mine. I love you too, little bird, I reply. We sit like that for a while, just staring into each other's eyes, letting her rest, relax and process while I stay by her side. Her eyes search mine and I stroke her, her thighs, her hair, her hands. Every little piece of her until she curls into me.
Can I see him?
Lifting her into my arms, I take her back into the living room and drag a chair closer before I sit and perch her on my lap. The doctor looks her over and binds her broken toes and fingers, cleans the cuts, and stitches one that needs it. She has cracked ribs as well, but there isn't much he can do for that apart from giving her pain relievers, which she accepts. Her head is also bummed, and he warns she might have a concussion. After he's done, I move us closer to Garrett. She reaches out to him and twines her fingers with his. His head is turned this way and his eyes are closed. It's the most peaceful I've ever seen him. He loves you, I whisper to her, more than anything in this world. He never feared losing or dying before, not until you. She trembles against me, and Ryder and Kenzo drag chairs on either side of us. And that's how we sit, all night, with our eyes on our brother, who's fighting for his life, our woman between us. When the sun rises, Ryder makes coffee, silently passing little bird one before sitting back down.
He'll be okay, she whispers.
How do you know? Ryder asks, weariness in his voice.
Because he's a viper. Vipers don't die,
she states. It's the same thing we have said for years, and it's like something clicks into place. How easily she slipped into our lives and became the centre of our world. It will never be easy. Fuck, I'm glad it won't be easy. It's boring. But having her in my arms makes all the blood, all the pain and power games worth it. And when Garrett groans and opens his eyes, clashing with Roxy's gaze, it's clear that without her, we are nothing. What started as a business deal has grown into something much more than we could have ever imagined. A life. A home. Love. The very things none of us knew we needed, including Little Bird. But now we have them together, and we are never letting that go, or her. I would chase her to the ends of this earth and drag her back, kicking and screaming. Actually, that would be fun. The fuck you all look so morbid for? Garrett rasps, then coughs. We all share a look before bursting into laughter. Vipers never die. Vipers never fall. Unless it's for a tattooed, foul-mouthed bar owner.
56. Kenzo. She's finally asleep, I'll tell them, watching our girl. We moved Garrett to his room early this morning, and Roxy followed after he freaked out and punched Dee when he couldn't see her. Now they're curled up together, snoring. Good, they need to sleep. I do too, so even though it pains me, I let Ryder and Diesel sort out the arrangements for funerals of the men we lost, including Roxy's friend, Sam. I also let them deal with the rest of the triad. I have more important things to do, like hold my girl.
Sometimes being the boss's brother and also being injured has its advantages. As they grumble and get off to work, I slip into bed with Garrett and Roxy, pushing up against her back and burying my face into her neck and hair.
Fuck you doing,
she mutters, making me chuckle. I've got a wheel, darling, your body helps, I tease.
Fucking cheeseball,
she mutters, even as she wiggles closer to me, causing me to groan.
I'm injured, not dead, don't tempt me with that fucking ass.
She laughs and Garrett groans, shut the fuck up or I'll throw you out.
Me?
Roxy giggles and he growls and drags her closer even as he moans in pain.
No, that fucking idiot. I don't have enough blood left for a hard-on, so shut up.
We both laugh and I snuggle closer again, just smelling my girl. I can smell hints of blood and sweat, but underneath it is all her.
Shush, injured people trying to sleep, I mutter.
They laugh, making Garrett groan.
Oh, fucking hate being injured.
Me too,
I sigh.
I could kiss it all better,
she offers, and we both turn rigid against her.
I love being injured,
I correct, and Garrett nods silently.
My new favourite thing.
I think I'll let Dee hurt me every now and again, he mutters.
Men, she sighs. Now shut the fuck up, I'm tired after saving your asses. By the way, you've all owed me lots and lots of orgasms for that shit show of the last few days.
Grinning, I kiss her neck, making her shiver in need, even as she yawns. Anything you say, darling.
So bossy,
Garrett mutters.
Assholes, she snaps and then sighs. Hate you.
Hate you too,
Garrett replies. Hate you more, I add, and she snorts, but snuggles closer, both of them going quiet as they drift off.
Who knew this is where we would end up?
I thought our lives were perfect until Roxy came along and showed me just how empty and meaningless they were. No, I can't imagine them any other way without her in the middle. It might be strange, and others might never understand it, but we have never been one to follow the rules. We make our own, and Roxy? Roxy is ours. Forever.
Ryder. While my brothers and girl are resting, I make arrangements. I sort the funerals and I reimburse their families, making sure they never have to worry. I contact clean-up and the police. I release a statement acting saddened by the tragic massacre that took place in our city. I play the good leader. And businessman. Then I strip off my suit and head down to the basement and to Dee. He has the third and final member of the triad strung up in chains. He's already been busy keeping the man occupied, of course, until I enter.
How awful it must feel knowing your whole family is dead.
I sigh as I step into the room, grinning as I meet his scared, angry eyes.
Don't worry, you will soon join them.
You're fucking snakes,
he spits, his accent pronounced more than normal.
Very true.
I grin as I strip off my shirt and step towards him.
Diesel laughs.
Oh, you're in trouble now,
he taunts, circling him as I step before the man.
You should have never come for my family. You should have rolled over and accepted the deal. You're a fool.
I thought it would be easy,
he whispers. Defeated. The man has nothing else to live for. I've taken everything he loves. You thought wrong. Never back a viper into a corner. We always strike back harder,
I tell him, as I pick up a screwdriver and hold it to the light.
I have to make an example of you. Your brothers, I'm afraid, were all disposed of, but I still have you. He swallows and tilts his head back, his eyes tired, his age bearing down on him now.
We were never going to win, were we?
I'll smirk at that.
No,
never.
He nods.
Will you kill our families?
Maybe,
I shrug. I don't tell him I've already had them deported and set up wherever they wanted to go with new identities and money to live out their lives.
I don't kill innocents unless I have to.
They didn't know, and their blood ties are severed.
I feel repaid and the threat is gone, so they are safe from us.
Unless they ever come at us again.
They have been warned to never speak our names or step foot in this country. I have a feeling we will never see or hear from them again.
Let's begin, shall we?
I ask. And he nods, his spirit broken, his honour gone.
He failed. They lost and we won. Now it's time to show everyone what happens to traitors, so they think twice about coming at us. No one will hurt my family again, I will ensure it. Spill the blood now, save it later down the line. Especially now that Roxanne is here. My protective instincts are higher than ever. It's going to be harder to protect her because she's unpredictable and wild. But when I saw her tonight, when she truly became one of us, it was magnificent. Poetry in motion. She was not just a viper tonight, she was the viper. She was ours. And we protect what is ours, always. I started at his feet, working my way up his body. Diesel has to help. We break his ankles, toes, kneecaps, ribs, fingers and nose. Then we skin him alive, which is harder than it sounds. The number one we cut from the rest to be kept as a show of strength. And when we're done, we are both covered in blood and he's dead. It's over. My family is safe, for now. We still have a few other matters to deal with, but they can wait for now. For a few days, at least. For once, I'm taking some time off to spend with my brothers and my love. I'm going to relax and enjoy their company. Something I haven't done for years. We are going to heal. Together.
57. Roxy. Washing blood away is harder than it sounds. I woke up a few hours later, hot and sticky, and way too itchy from the blood in places it shouldn't be, despite how hard Diesel had tried to remove it. Not to mention my hair is now red and not silver. So leaving Garrett and Kenzo to cuddle, I head to my old room to shower. I'm only in my bra and knickers, so I drop them to the floor, knowing I will never wear them again, and step into my bathroom. It's strange how it all started in this room. When I woke up here, I thought it was going to be the end of my life, that this was where I would finally die. Now, it's my own, and I have never felt more alive or loved, even when it hurts or it's scary. It's strange how things turn out. Flicking on the water, I step into the spray, shivering when it's cold and waiting for it to warm up. I close my eyes, still tired, but also too wound up to sleep. My dreams are haunted from not reaching Garrett in time, and I see snippets of him dying under that blade while I'm screaming and trying to get to him, waking me over and over. I jump when an arm slides around my throat from behind. When the scent of fire and smoke reaches me, I relax back into it with a smile as steam starts to fill the room. Hey, odd stuff.
Hello, little bird. He murmurs, licking my ear. I've been busy, and now I need you.
Turning in his embrace, I see the blood covering his naked body. I don't ask whose, but there is something about a naked Diesel coated in blood that has my pussy clenching. His blonde hair is sticky and matted with it, his lips tipped up in that cocky, crazed smile. Maybe it's the fact that I almost lost them. Maybe it's the fact that I need to feel alive. To feel them in my arms. Replace that blood on my hands with their skin and love. Or maybe I'm just fucked up and constantly want to screw their brains out. But I fling myself at him, and he catches me with a laugh, his hands going to my ass and squeezing it as he walks us backwards until my back hits a wall hard. I gasp as my breath is pushed from me, my ribs still weak, as he smashes his lips to mine. I taste cigarettes and blood on his lips and groan. Searching for more as our tongues tangle. Our bodies become slippery with the spray cascading down on us, washing us free of our sins for just a moment. I can't even begin to tell him how much it meant to me when he looked after me last night. He was so soft and sweet. Yes, Diesel might be crazy. He might be obsessive and blood-crazed, but he's loving. He's kind and passionate. And when you become his for life. He moans into my mouth as his fingers snake between our bodies, slip down my wet pussy, and dip inside me with a quick, hard thrust.
So fucking wet, little bird,
he murmurs against my lips. Always, I reply, rubbing against his hand. Going to fuck me or tease? He growls, leaning down to bite my neck hard,
making me whimper even as I clench around his fingers, the pain and pleasure chasing away all the uncertainness, fear, anger, and helplessness from the last 2 days. Diesel always knows how to make me feel alive. Fuck me, I snarl against his lips. Chuckling, he pulls his fingers free, drops me to the slippery floor, and quickly turns me, smashing my injured cheek into the tiles as I groan from the pain. He rubs his hard cock along my ass, licking and biting my ear. Do you remember our first time? I nod breathlessly as I eagerly part my legs, letting him rub his cock along my pussy. I remember the first time I saw you. So beautiful, so dangerous. I fell a little bit in love with you that day, when those big, fierce eyes locked on me. I haven't stopped thinking about you ever since. You're my fucking obsession, little bird. Always will be. He growls as he lines up and slams into me, making me scream in both pain and pleasure. He presses me hard against the wall, his hand on my neck to keep me there. This will be quick and fast. It's been too long. Later, I'm gonna fill your ass with my cum as a watch. But for now, now I get you all to myself. Pressing my hands against the wall, blood dripping from our bodies and mingling by our feet at the drain, I moan his name. He tugs my head back with his hand in my ear, his cock slipping in and out of me, harder and faster, as my hands splay across the tiles. D, please, I beg. He snarls and slams in and out of me with no rhythm. I'm helpless against him as he drags my pleasure from me. I love you so fucking much, little bird. You are my everything. I would kill anyone for you. I would do anything for you. I would crawl on my fucking knees to be at your side. I whimper at his words, the pleasure building inside me, drawn from my very toes. I'm desperate, pushing back into his hands and cock, needing to come so badly. My head is going dizzy, my eyes closing and my ears ringing, and I know it's just going to explode out of me at any minute. I fucking love you, he roars, his other hand reaching around and grabbing my pussy in a possessive, hard grip that has me slipping over the edge. I scream my release, helplessly fighting it, clenching around him, my hips moving and voice cracking as I shake and writhe. I feel his head meet my back as he pants, his cum slipping from my pussy as I breathe heavily against the shower wall. He presses his body along the length of mine until there isn't an inch of space between us, both of us shivering from aftershocks. His voice comes out gravelly and low. I knew you had it in you, little bird, to become ours, to become a viper. Now look at you, our very own fucking queen. Queen. It has a nice ring to it. Life with them will never be boring. Garrett is healing slowly, as is Kenzo. They are big babies, though, and I have to tell them to man the fuck up and stop moping after 2 days. Ryder has taken some time off work, and honestly, it's nice to have him around. Diesel disappears for a whole day, but when he comes back, he vows never to leave my side again. And then he gives me a hand. In a box. Honestly, it's romantic as fuck. It turns out it was the Mohawk, Andrew, guy's hand. What a softie. Though I don't really know what to do to preserve a hand, so I leave that up to Diesel. I even catch him high-fiving Garrett with it once, to which the big guy punches him in the face and knocks him out cold. When he comes around, he's laughing his head off. Crazy bastard. Ryder returns to work, but he started doing it from the dining room table. I hear a lot of swearing on the other end of the phone. Turns out, he's destroying everything that is left of the triad. One day, when I'm feeling annoying, I prop myself on his lap while he's on a call. Okay, so I'm hoping for a repeat of the office incident, but it doesn't happen. He seems nervous suddenly and holds me closer. His nose goes to my neck, and he sucks in a breath before he straightens and starts the call. It's a woman's voice on the other end, a husky one that even has me wiggling. Not that Ryder seems to notice. No, there is respect on his face for this woman, whoever she is. Jealousy shoots through me, and he must notice, because he drags up my shirt and grips my bare pussy under the table. Just holds it, all possessive-like. Yeah, it kinda helps. Though I want to take a bat to the sexy phone voice woman. Mr. Viper. How lovely to hear from you.
I understand you had a little trouble recently.
Ryder smiles, a mean one. Nothing I couldn't handle.
Of course.
She laughs. It's a smoky sound.
We too had a small issue with them, but they seem to have focused all their efforts on you. You can rest assured we have no quarrel with you or your city. We have our own to deal with.
I look at him at that. Who is this?
I never asked, did I?
She laughs again.
Let's not play games. We are too smart for that. I know why you're ringing. And yes, we are still allies. You have your city. Os Petrovs have ours.
Ryder relaxes a bit, and I realize he was worried he was going to have to go to war with the Russian family he told me about.
That's good. Please let me know if I can help your quarrel in any way. Your kindness is appreciated. I hear you have found yourself a woman, finally. Do I need to buy a dress for a wedding?
I freeze, my eyes wide.
Wedding? Oh, fuck no.
I try to run, but Ryder chuckles and wraps his arm around me tighter, obviously knowing what my reaction would be.
In the future, yes. She is very slippery.
Slippery? Oh, I'll give this bastard slippery. Yanking my elbow back, I drive it into his stomach, and he gasps and releases me. Standing, I narrow my eyes on him.
Slippery? I wouldn't marry you fuckers even if you held a gun to my head, I hiss before storming away.
I hear their laughter trailing after me.
I like her. Bring her to visit. Goodbye, Mr. Viper.
Roxanne!
I hear him call after me, his voice cool and demanding. Ah, shit. I'm going to pay for that. Looking over my shoulder, I see him stripping off his shirt, those eyes locked on me and heating fast. Shit, shit, shit. I do the only thing I can. Run. He laughs as he chases me. I should have known he will always catch me. And when he does, well, I'm screaming for good reasons, not bad.
58. Diesel.
I'm sorry, but I swear, I didn't know what they were going to. I cut off his words by grabbing the needle and putting his head in a vice-like hold. Tears fall from his eyes as he struggles in the chair, his arms and legs tied to it with barbed wire, like they did to my girl. Shush, don't move or I could mess this up, I snap, as I start to thread it through his lips. He moves and screams. But when I step back, it doesn't look too bad. Even stitching, not too far apart, and his mouth is effectively sewn shut. His eyes bug from his head, blood dripping down his chin as I hop on his desk and swing my legs. Ryder is destroying the Triad's business, and I'm cleaning up our beloved city. Anyone who ever wanted to stand against us, whoever worked with the Triad or made threats, they die. We can't risk one of them getting ideas and coming for Roxy. Not again. They were your sons, you knew, I snort. Oh, yes. Triad's daddy all the way over in China. I hopped on our jet while Roxy was sleeping and came straight to his corporate building. He knew. His son's never made a move without his approval. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time. I have to be back on the plane before the authorities catch me. I would have preferred to play more. My phone rings and I look to see it's little bird. Hold one moment, the old lady. You know how it is. Answering, I put it on speaker as I hop from the desk and circle their dad. Little bird, I murmur. Where are you? She asks, her voice sharp. Missing me? I tease, as I grab his head, rip it to the side and tear off his ear. He tries to scream, the muffled sound filtering down the phone.
Ah, she laughs. Sorry, didn't know you were working.
I always have time for you, you know that, I murmur as I do the same to the other and toss the bloody appendages on the desk. What's wrong, little bird?
I'm bored and Garrett and Kenzo are sleeping and Ryder is off somewhere.
I wanted to play. Her voice drops an octave, making me shiver and my cock turn hard. Talk to Garrett for a while. I'll be back as soon as I can, I promise. She sighs.
Fine,
she mumbles, then seems to perk up.
Garrett, Diesel said you had to play with me.
Her voice is sweet as sugar, but it makes me laugh. I hear him swear and then grunt as she laughs.
Bye, Dee. See you soon.
Holding the man in the chair, I hold my phone to one ear as I lead him over to the bay of the windows. Bye, little bird. Be bad. Hanging up, I pocket the phone as I press my face to his, looking at our reflection in the window. Women, am I right? Can't live without them. Can't kill without them. I nod seriously. Now, I want you to say hi to your sons for me. I laugh as I straighten and my phone rings again. Sighing, I answer it. What did you tell her? Garrett roars. To play? Why? I query, looking at my bloodstained nails. He groans as if in pain. Dee, she's wearing chains as lingerie. I'm supposed to be on bed rest. Laughing, I wink at their dad. Then be on bed rest with her in the bed with you. Gotta go. Bye. Putting my phone away, I grin down at the triad's daddy. Sorry, mate, duty calls. I'll have a nice flight if you do. I laugh as I pull back my leg and kick. I watch as he rolls towards the glass before flying through it, the pain shattering around him. Leaning through the broken window, I watch from the 40th story as he falls to the concrete below with a splat. Now that was fun. Laughing, I wipe the table for prints and whistling to myself, take the stairs back down. I have a plane to catch. My little bird needs me. And now that the city is clean, she is all I have to focus on. I hope she's ready.
Ryder. I know I should be celebrating, except I can't help but blame myself. With the emotions Roxanne has unlocked in me, for her, it comes with guilt. If we hadn't taken her, she would have never been tortured and almost killed. She's still limping, her toes, ribs and fingers hurting her when she thinks we don't notice. I've been making sure she takes her pain relievers, but she got hurt because of me. Not to mention my brothers, who even now are still healing. They almost died because I wasn't smart enough to see this coming. My father was right. I will never be good enough to lead. Knocking back the scotch, I turned to the windows around the conference room. I don't know why I came here, only that it felt right. I'm too dark, too angry and confused to be with anyone tonight, even my love. She would try to save me from it, and I can't have that. My failures are mine, and I have to learn from them. I need to do better in the future to keep them all safe. I need to see the looming threats to protect them. Which is why I hired more guards, and the treaty with the Petrovs is officially in effect. It took a lot of negotiating, but they are a good, strong family to have our backs. It might keep my family safe. I knew this life might kill us all when I entered it. I welcome it gladly, but now with Roxanne here, I wonder if I made the right decision. She would be just as happy living in a shitty apartment and working at the bar every night. She doesn't need money or power. Just us. As if summoned by my dark, turbulent thoughts, I spot her in the reflection in the window. Turning, I meet her gaze. She's framed in the doorway, wearing nothing but one of our shirts. Go to bed, love. It's late. I tell her, but my voice is trembling, so I turn away, my hands shaking again. Why does she have this effect on me? I never worried like this before. Never second-guessed my every decision. Wondering if she would agree if it was right. Fuck! I even keep going through my past and everything I have done, all the demons that hide there. Pondering if she would be disgusted by the man she shares her bed with if she knew.
Come with me.
She murmurs. Not tonight, love. I hear her sigh before her arms wrap around me from behind.
You don't have to suffer alone, Rye. I'm here, your brothers are here. I know the weight you carry, trying to save us all, but that isn't your job, okay? I don't need you to save me. I need you to stand with me, to lean on me so I can lean on you. You don't always have to be perfect, cold and calculating. It's okay to break every now and again. But don't do it alone.
I don't reply. She kicks my chair around and gets in my face. Her own contorted in anger now.
Fucking talk to me, Ryder. Don't shut me out. Don't be that asshole, or I swear you will lose me.
You want to protect us? Fine. You want to wallow in self-pity? Fine. But do not dare freeze me out. Not now. Not ever. With a roar, I'm up and in her face in an instant, my hand around her neck. No. Would you rather I took it out on you, hit you, hurt you? Because that's what will happen if you keep pushing, Roxanne. I am him, after all. I'll push her away in disgust. Not at her, but at me, knowing if I don't, I could actually hurt her. His blood runs through my veins. And it was a day like this where he used to take it out on my mum. I feel it too. The need to forget, to hurt someone so I feel stronger, less out of control. To control her and her actions so that all these fucking emotions and turmoil goes away again. I'm a monster like him. And it's my biggest fear that I would hurt her because I love her. And my love? It comes with barbs.
59. Roxy. You want to hurt me? Fine, do it if it helps. I can take it, I snap, sick of his bullshit. Just when I think I'm getting close, he pulls away again, only offering me the pieces of him he wants to, shielding the others. I'm done with it. He slams his hands under the window, his head pressing to the glass. Get out, he orders. No, I reply calmly, crossing my arms. Not until you get all this shit out in the open. You're worried about hurting me? Because of your father, right? Or maybe you're just blaming yourself for everything that's happened. I snort when he flinches. I know you, Ryder, probably better than you think. You will run through every goddamn detail, blaming yourself, thinking you could have prevented it. But baby, sometimes shit just happens. And guess what? I don't blame you, and your brothers don't either. Because of you, we are alive and together. Shit happens, Ryder, and you have to deal with it and move on. If you get trapped in the past, you will never be free of its ghosts. He's quiet for a moment, and I think I've pushed him too far. But when his voice comes out, it's small and scared. It's my job to protect you all. Dropping my arms, I head over and press my head against his back, wrapping my arms about his trembling body. Yes and no. It's our job to protect each other. We all knew what we were getting into, Ryder. This life isn't easy. If it was, everyone would do it. But stop trying to take all the weight for yourself. A viper needs balance. You need your brothers and me. He turns and I'm pushed back. His eyes are wild, his mouth is pursed in a snarl. His body is shaking and his fists are clenched. He looks magnificent and fucking terrifying. And when I can't? What if I let you all help me? What if I let it all out and I'm just like him? He screams. Like your father? I ask. He looks away, jaw grinding. He was a bastard, Roxanne. A true fucking bastard. He hurt my mother and me and Kenzo. He shakes his head, seeming to deflate as he watches me. What if I hurt you? Then I'll kill you, I laugh, and he glares at me. Rai, you can't hurt me unless I let you. I'm sorry, but I'm not your mother. I'm a fighter. I survived my father. I survived Dee and Garrett. I can survive your demons. I would never let you hurt me more than I wanted to, and neither would the others. You are so scared of being him, you're stopping yourself from being you. He swallows, his eyes searching mine. I killed him. I blink at that. Okay? He laughs, a self-deprecating sound. You're not even surprised. That you killed a man who hurt your mother and brother? I snort. No, Ryder, I'm not surprised. I wish you had done it sooner. He grins, but it soon deflates, and he sits back down, his body heavy as if he's tired. Kenzo tried to, he admits, his voice laced with pain and guilt. How long has he been holding on to this? I'd killed before. My father made me, shaping me into his enforcer.
I did it to protect Kenzo, because I knew if I didn't, then he would make my brother. But I couldn't protect him forever. And even though I tried to shield him from that life, he walked into it anyway to save me from my dad. He saw what it was doing to me and hated it. He took my gun one night when I was asleep, went to the hotel.
The hotel? Where I was? I question as I plop into his lap. He needs to talk, but he needs me there too.
He wraps his arms around me gratefully, his head pressing to mine. One and the same, love. It's ours. I wanted it to rot.
He kisses me then, softly, so softly.
He went there to kill him, to save me. But when he got to my father, he couldn't do it. He's a lover, and the first time you pull the trigger is hard, love, and on our own father. Impossible for Kenzo. He saw the good in everyone and loved them, even when they didn't deserve it, still does.
Hey, I protest, and he smiles.
Not you, Roxanne. If anyone in this world deserves love, it's you and him. But Garrett, Dee, and me, not so much.
I shake my head, but he covers my mouth.
Let me talk, okay? I woke up, and when I saw my gun was missing, I knew. He had been acting weird all day, and I just knew, love. I've never been so scared. I knew my dad would kill him, and by the time I got there, Kenzo was bleeding on death's door. I took the gun from him.
You killed him, I mumble against his hand.
I killed him, shot him in the head, then unloaded the clip on him.
He winces then.
And I felt nothing, nothing, love. Not even joy. It was just something that needed to be done. I helped Kenzo up and we just stood over him. All our lives, he had been a tyrant, such a big, strong man. All that power and money, and in the end, all it did was sign his death warrant. He looked so weak, so small. It was easy to do, kill. Easier to take over his business and destroy it. It was when I was in my element destroying things, while Kenzo was the builder.
He sucks in a breath, and I push closer, offering him comfort as he unloads all the weight pulling him down.
He pulled this family together. I think he did it for me, to try and keep me anchored, because he saw it too, my ability to destroy, my potential to be worse than my father, and he was trying to stop it, and it worked, love, for so long. It grounded me, but then you came.
He shakes his head again, his eyes lighting up and his lips curling.
Like a fucking hurricane. You shook up my world. I knew you would when I saw you, but I just couldn't walk away. There's an innocence to you. I know you've seen shit life has to offer, but you still smile, still laugh. I craved it, wanted to make it mine and destroy it. But I didn't count on your fucking will. You wrapped me, us, around your fingers so easily. I would do anything for you, love, be anything you needed. And that terrified me because that same power, those same demons who made my dad him, are in me, and you have to deal with them all. Because I can't let you go, nor ever.
My heart cracks at his words. Ryder, God, my poor Ryder. So worried all the time. No wonder that ice is there. It keeps him and everyone around him safe from the fire within. Dee uses it. Kenzo blocks it. Garrett unleashes it, but Rye? Rye lives in it.
That makes me a bastard, I know, but when you are in my arms, I feel invincible. I feel so fucking strong, like I could do anything. You make me like that. You make me stronger, and because of that, you have to deal with the consequences.
Pushing his hand away, I kiss him hard. And I'll gladly take them. Ryder, you're stronger than you know, so fucking strong. Why do you think I stayed? Even when I first came, I didn't really try to escape and never really knew why. Maybe it's because I knew this was where I belonged, in your arms. So you have demons? Maybe they match mine. We can do this together, but no more icing us out. We are family. They won't judge you, just like you won't judge them. It's time to let go, Ryder. Let the ghosts die with that hotel, because you have so much more to live for now. And I will remind you every fucking day if you need me to. I will take it all, every bit of anger and destruction, Paint it across my skin. I'll wear it gladly. I'm yours, Ryder, and you're mine. He searches my eyes. Promise. It's a child's word on a man's lips. A man who lost everything for so long. Who was never taught love or kindness. We are learning together. Words might not always be loving. No, sometimes they are downright venomous. Poison on our lips like fire pouring from our souls. But they are always true. Promise, I whisper. He groans, closing his eyes for a moment. I fucking love you, Roxanne, even when you're being a brat. I can't help but laugh at that. Don't worry, I still hate you. He grins, his eyes flaring open as he circles my neck with his hand, those long, elegant, scarred fingers anchoring me to him. Is that right? He murmurs, his gaze flashing dangerously, and it's a testament to how fucked up I am that my pussy clenches at that one look. I bet I can make you scream I love you for everyone to hear. Doubt it, buddy, I snort, even as I lean into him, ripping my hand down his shirt. The buttons pop off, leaving his chest bare for my hungry gaze, his collage of tattoos almost blinding me. He's a work of art, and he fucking knows it. A goddamn painting in motion. His soul is as dark as his ink, and his eyes are as cold as the society he swims in, yet I crave him. His brand of pain and love. I ache whenever I look at him. He's too fucking much, yet he's all mine. He can be cruel and callous. His hands and tongue a weapon. He can take me down, break me, and destroy me as easily as he can have me screaming in pleasure. It's a double-edged sword with each of the Viper boys. They love as deeply as they hate. They hurt as much as they breathe. And I am in the middle of all of that, with all of their eyes and attention on me. If I'm not careful, they could kill me as easily as they love me. I stole their hearts and they stole mine. They keep it safe in their blood-soaked palms. And when Ryder strokes his hands down to my arse and squeezes, I moan wantonly. Such pain, such death they leave in their paths. These hands belong to killers, sinners, vipers. But I want them all the same. I want their bite. I want their particular brand of venom coursing through my veins, remaking me into their girl. Every touch, every look is a balm into the soul of a girl who was never loved properly. One day it might consume us all and we might explode. But what a beautiful death it would be. Rye, I beg, dragging my nails down his chest, cutting his skin and leaving my mark, giving as good as I get. They love me because of this,